Did you say some things? In all things. Hallelujah. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, thank the Lord when you're up. And thank the Lord when you're down. Amen. In all things, give thanks, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Well, have you ever been told to eat all of your food that was put on your plate before you? And then you looked on that plate and you saw something on there that you didn't like. I think most of us have had that experience. Amen. And it's kind of discomforting at the least. I think everybody has something that kind of turns them off as far as a food type. So what one person considers very tasty, another person could consider it not very tasty. Amen. So no matter what the food item may be, there's somebody that's going to think it tastes terrible. All right. Now, most of us love chicken. Amen. All right. Now, can you believe it that there really are some people who do not like chicken? You don't believe it, Katie. I find it hard to believe, too. But I actually met somebody that didn't like chicken. I know it. I couldn't hardly believe it. But there's always somebody. Amen. Praise God. Oh, yeah. If you are 12 and under, you may be dismissed. Unless you, praise God. Praise God. Sorry about that, PK. Amen. All right. Oh, I hate to see you go, Katie. I know. Really, they could stay and listen to this sermon. Praise God. All right. All right. Yes, 6 to 12. And then under 6 in the nursery. All right. Praise God. All right. Amen. Well, the same is true of Brussels sprouts. How many of you like Brussels sprouts? All right, some do and some don't. What about spinach? Some do and some don't. Well, there's a lot of spinach people here. What about okra? Okay, all right, all right. Oh, I don't like okra. That's funny. There's a lot of okra folks. Praise God. Oh, that's funny. There are some people who love eating raw oyster. Okay, not a whole lot of raw, okay. But there are people like it raw. All right. All right. Now, you might not be able to imagine, but some people like eating snails. All right. You like snails or egg fish? Okay. Fish eggs? Okay. There are some folks who like alligator. I love alligator. I went down to Texas to spend some time with Viva, and we went out to a restaurant down there in Texas, and that alligator was so good. That was the appetizer. They had a lot of it. And I started eating. I said, Samantha, don't you try this alligator. Samantha said, only thing alligator could do for me is I'll wear it on my shoe. She said, other than that, alligator can't do nothing for me. I said, okay, then I'm going to eat your part. And I just ate that alligator. But it turned out that the alligator didn't like me. I was so allergic. But the Lord was so good to me, saints. Even though I got sicker than I think I've ever been in my life, the Lord allowed me to fly into Cleveland Hopkins Airport, allowed me to get home, and then all of a sudden, all that alligator started coming out. But I made it home. What if I had started doing all that on the plane? Oh, they would have had to land somewhere. So it was like, God was so, so good. So when I travel now, my doctor, she's given me this list. She said, take this list. I don't want you eating anything off of this list. And it had crazy things on it, like snake and all kind of stuff. I said, I'm not going to eat this stuff on here. And she said, hush your mouth and take that list. She said, because I can't trust you. I want you to take the list out and read it when you go to a restaurant. Because she know I will try stuff. All right. Praise God. But what tastes good to one might not taste so good to another. So, saints, what happens when the food you dislike the most is on the plate before you? Well, what do you do? Oh, no. Well, that is one answer. Just give it to the dog. Well, you may respond like the little boy who was asked to offer the blessing, as Jaisha was today, for that meal. And he was offering at first his typical blessing, but he had opened his eyes a little bit, and he looked down on his plate, and then he started changing his prayer. And he said, oh, God, I thank you for the fried chicken. Ooh, and I thank you for the rice and the gravy. Ooh, and I thank you for this macaroni and cheese. I thank you for the mustard greens and the cornbread. And I thank you for that bread pudding. And I love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And puzzled, his mother asked, why did he ask blessings on the separate individual items on his plate instead of the usual, oh, God, thank you for this food. And her little son answered, I gave thanks for the chicken because I love chicken. I gave thanks for the rice and gravy because I love rice and gravy. I thank God for the macaroni and cheese and bread pudding because I love macaroni and cheese and bread pudding. I thank God for the collard greens. Well, I think there was mustard greens and cornbread because I love them. And I just thank God for the food I like. You see, if I gave thanks for the whole plate, the Lord may get the wrong idea and give me more of that stuff I cannot stand. There's too much stuff on here I can't stand. So I'm not praying for the whole plate. Well, them little kids, they just say what they think. Well, indeed, saints, God blesses many of us with a full plate. In fact, like David in Psalm 23, David said, my cup runneth over. Hallelujah. And a full plate in this context of Psalm 23 is not reference to food, but it's a reference to a wide sort of experiences that range from good times in our lives to bad times. And sometimes the items that we see on our plate, sometimes they excite us like, woo, my leg is just shaking. And then there's other items we see, ooh, that don't look good. I don't want any part of it, and I haven't prepared to deal with that. And at the close of the day, many of us will reflect on the day, and we'll start thanking God. Well, Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for that that happened, and I thank you for this. But we don't thank God for the whole entire day, saints. But you know what? God really did bless us every single moment of the day because we wouldn't have made it that night, praise God, if God hadn't. Amen. So many of us are like that little boy. We don't want God to get the wrong idea and give us more of what we don't like. Hallelujah. So we start just thanking God for the part of the day that we did like. So from now on, when you have locked yourself out of the car like I do quite often, praise God. Just say hallelujah and find the good in it. Amen. Amen. Because God is a part of that day, too, and that experience. However, everybody say, however, the Word of God teaches us to not be selective in our thanksgiving and gratitude to God. We are encouraged to praise God in and through it all. Amen. When it's easy and when it's not. Let's look at our sermon note sheet, saints. We see 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. And let's read that together. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Amen. Saints, this text focuses on the Apostle Paul as he writes a letter of encouragement to the believers about receiving food served to them from the table of the Gentiles. Now, Paul's letter was directed at a young minister named Timothy, and Timothy faced believers who were being confused by newcomers to the faith who were teaching that they should continue to be legalistic about the requirements of the Mosaic law, even to the point of not eating certain foods on their plates. You see, the Mosaic law was very rigid, and there were foods that were considered unclean while Israel was in the wilderness. And this was because of sanitary laws, and it was designed to keep down disease. It wasn't designed just because the creatures were made unclean, because the Lord said, everything that I made is good. So Paul is making it abundantly clear that everything God created is good. Tell your neighbor, everything God made is good. Everything God made is good. Amen. So if it's on the plate, we may not have a taste for it, but it's all good. Amen. Now, I have taught over the years our children to not use the word nasty for any kind of food. And because what's good to somebody, it might be nasty to you, but it's good to somebody else. And so one Christmas, we had a lot of the children of the church over, and I had my favorite Christmas dessert. And it's so pretty. It's red and green, and I put a lot of Cool Whip on the top. It's just delicious. It's my favorite. But it's more has an adult taste because it's not real sweet. It's kind of got a little sour taste to it. And so one of our young people who was in the first service, I didn't say his name, he was about six, and So he says, that looks so pretty, Pastor Tubby. Can I have a slice of your Christmas dessert? I said, sure. And so I put it on a plate for him. And so he just went like this, and he said, his face was doing all kind of contortions. Then he said, oh, this is nasty. It was so funny. And so I said, you don't like it? He says, no. I said, can I eat it? He said, yes. And I ate it right in front of him. It just took me about a half a minute to do that. He said, you like that? Yes. I said, so you stop calling food nasty, because it's good to other people. It might not be good to you. So he came up to me after service this morning. He said, Pastor Chuck, would you please stop telling that story? I said, well, I didn't tell your name. All right, anybody want to know, you can ask me after church. But he told me, he said, I'm coming to your house this Christmas. And he says, I'm much more mature. I'm over double that age now, and I would like to try that dessert again. I said, well, I will make you one just for yourself. If you don't like it, give it to your mom. Amen. Praise God. But what's important here, saints, is that Paul is emphasizing the spirit of thanksgiving. Amen. Praise God. When we approach a meal with the spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude, it's all good. Amen. Even if there's some okra there or whatever, a spirit of thanksgiving actually turns into worship to the Lord, because we are grateful for what God has provided. So likewise, when we face our plate in life, amen, we got a plate in life, and if we face it with thanksgiving, we can turn our entire lives into a witness as we demonstrate gratitude and thanksgiving to God. Now, saints, in our spiritual journey group that we meet here once a month, we gather each month to learn about and then trying to put into practice spiritual disciplines, which are practices that transform us. And they simply put us in a place where we can begin to more notice God in our daily life, and where we can open ourselves more to the Lord Jesus Christ through spiritual disciplines. And we have been using this great book. It's called Spiritual Disciplines Handbook. It's by Adele Calhoun. It is awesome, off the hook. And earlier this year, our group spent some time on the spiritual discipline of gratitude. Now, we learned that thankfulness, it really is a thread. Just imagine a thread, a needle thread. Thankfulness is that thread which really sews together, imagine some quilt pieces, of the pattern of our lives. Some of our days are really good days. Some are hard days. And then we have some joyful days, and then we have some sad days. But that thread of thanksgiving joins it all together into a beautiful, lovely pattern. Amen. Now, Jesus especially was good at doing this. Jesus could have complained, oh, God shouldn't expect me to feed these 5,000 people, and all I have is just 5 loaves and 2 little fish. Oh, my goodness. But we see Jesus didn't do that. In Mark 8:6, Jesus, he looks at that not as if it's nothing. He says he noticed it, and then he gave thanks to God. It was a little basket with 5,000 people. And that was a less than perfect situation, because when people are hungry, they can get really vicious, and they can get really mean. So he's got over 5,000 people, and he's got this little loaves and fish. But saints, the word of God said, God supplied all that was needed. And it was because Jesus noticed it and he gave thanks. Hallelujah. Well, saints, we, like Jesus, have choices about how we respond to what happens to us in life. We have a choice as to what we do with what life throws at us. Amen. We have the power, everybody say the power to interpret the facts of our lives. And we make the choices as to where we're going to turn bitter, or where we're going to say, I'm going to be grateful in this situation. I'm going to give thanks anyhow. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have that choice. You see, saints, thanksgiving is possible not because everything goes perfect in our lives. How many know life can be hard? It can be so hard. But God is good. Amen. And God is present in our lives. Praise God. Amen. So, saints, the Spirit of God is always with us and near us, and we thank you, Lord, for that. Nearer to us than our own breath. And gratitude is a discipline. It is a spiritual discipline to choose to stitch our good times right along with the hard times. Just stitch it all together with the thread of gratitude. And saints, let me say this. The decision to do so is guaranteed to stitch us closer to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, sometimes the circumstances of our lives are always not the best. Amen. Sometimes the circumstances of our lives are downright hard. Amen. Just downright bad. But still, we are to look for something in it to be thankful for. And they're just not your neighbor. Say, neighbor, there's always something positive. There's always something positive for which we can be thankful. Amen. So we must give thanks in all circumstances. Now, how many know complaining doesn't change the circumstances? Complaining doesn't make the situation any better. In fact, complaining, it amplifies the frustration. It spreads the discontent. It spreads the discord, and it actually can open a door and invite the enemy to put his foot in and then to step into the situation and cause you more havoc in your life. Amen. So complaining makes us miserable. Amen. Psalm 77 verse 3 says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Philippians 2:13 says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. High five your neighbor and say, let's shine like stars. Let's just shine like stars. Shine like stars. And it starts with our gratitude. Giving thanks in all circumstances. Amen. You see, gratitude is keeping company with Jesus no matter what's happening. Amen. It's you and Jesus. Praise God. You and Jesus no matter what's going on. Amen. Now, some time ago, the cartoon Charlie Brown, they pictured Charlie Brown bringing out Snoopy's dinner on Thanksgiving Day. But Snoopy looked at it, and it was his regular dog food in the bowl. And so Snoopy looked at that. He said, this isn't fair. The rest of the world today is having a wonderful meal. They're eating turkey with all of the trimmings. And all I get is dog food because I'm a dog. They just throw out this dog food. And he stood there and he kept staring at that dog food. And he kept staring at it and staring at it. And then he paused for a moment and said, well, I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey. Amen. Amen. I could be a turkey. Saints, whenever we think life is so unfair to us, we need to think again because we could be a turkey. Amen. We could be a turkey. 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. One time we were driving south to visit family in Georgia, and when we got to Tennessee, and we noticed some funny sounds in the car. We're like, oh, God, let us make it all the way down there. And when we got to East Cleveland, Tennessee, how many know there's an East Cleveland, Tennessee? We were living in East Cleveland, Ohio, and here it was East Cleveland, Tennessee. And so when we were getting near the sign that said exit East Cleveland, Tennessee, the car just stopped. It was like the motor just disappeared. The car was silent. So thank God we were able to just to pull off into the ramp. And thank God the ramp, like, went downhill. So even though we had no power, the car just went down the ramp. We went all the way. We got to the bottom. Lo and behold, there was a service station right there. We just rolled right into the service station. Praise be to God, the service station was open. Hallelujah. And praise be to God, there was a restaurant across the street from the service station. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. So, you know, even though we had this crisis, we were late. We were hours late from when we were supposed to get there. We got there way in the morning. We was thanking God when we left East Cleveland, Tennessee. Amen. Praise God. Thank God that we rolled right into a service station, and they were open, and it was a restaurant across the street. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. You are so good. So gratitude is keeping company with Jesus no matter what is going on in our lives. Amen. Now, praise God, saints. For Mary's sensation, Katie and Walter, they always send, everybody who's attended, they send you a reminder. We meet this day. And they always enter a article in every month, every invitation to come out. And so I love those articles. And one just really, really got to me. I saved it, and I wanted to just share because it just not only fits marriage, it fits life. And it's entitled Peaks, Valleys, and Rails. And it was written by Marshall Shelley, and he's one of the editors of Leadership Magazine. But he was saying, it's tempting to think of married life, or really life in general, as a continual mountain climb, looking for the next mountain. We tell ourselves that most of life is lived in the valleys, but we hope we're on the road to another mountaintop, and that we'll hopefully get there before too long. But he is saying here that he made an observation that Rick Warren's life, he looked at him and he said, in the same year he wrote that book that was a top seller, Purpose-Driven Life, it was just the world, the top seller. That same year, his wife was diagnosed with cancer. So they were happening at the same time. Here, his book was selling all those copies, and at the same time, his wife was struggling through cancer. So he was saying a mountaintop or a deep valley, or is it something else? Then he goes on to say, I believe that it's kind of like two rails on a railroad track. That's more like what life is. All the time in our lives, we have something good going on in our lives, and then we also have something bad going on in our life. So it's more like a train making progress. That's what life is in marriage. It's always like on two rails, you see. Life rides parallel rails of blessing and adversity at the same time. So then he goes on in this article, and I'll show you how to look it up, or I'll just give you mine. But he was saying that joy and difficulty is not either or. It's both of them. They coexist together. So no matter how good things are in your life, Rick Warren is saying, there is always something bad that needs to be worked out in your life. And no matter how bad things get in your life, there's always something good for you to thank God for. Now, he's saying that we need to develop eyes that can see both of them simultaneously, joy and difficulty. Now, this Marshall Shelley, I was so impressed, I started looking for other things he had wrote. And him and his wife have been married 23 years, and it was saying that they have had joint blessing and adversity in their life. They gave birth to a daughter, Mandy, who was severely and profoundly retarded, whose condition made her unable to sit up, hold her head erect, or use her hands to grasp. And they, again, were to test to see if joy could coexist with adversity in their life. And they were saying they had to go to the emergency. They went many times. But one time, he was just saying he couldn't stand to see her suffer so much. But she died within 2 weeks of her second birthday. And he said, I didn't think I'd ever be totally happy again. The depth of grief was inevitable. I never forget her difficult and way too brief life with us. But they go on. He says, but Susan and I, his wife, we experienced the help and kindness of Christian friends. We learned that even in the midst of our grief, joy was still there. We knew moments of joy even in the midst of pain. And we were very grateful. For instance, he said, Sarah, who was a respite worker to help provide for Mandy, she became a dear friend, stayed close contact with us even after Mandy's death. Now Sarah is helping plan the wedding of their oldest daughter. And he says it's not a carefree mountaintop experience because we recognize the grief from which it came. Very painful. But it was a joy in the midst of it, too. And then I looked up a few more things about him and his wife. And they, within a three-month period, Marshall and Susan saw two of their children die. In November of, that was in 1996, in November of 1991, their son Toby succumbed to birth defects after 2 minutes of life. So these two wonderful people, they know what it is to have very hard things happen, but at the same time, recognizing the joy that the Lord gives us in the midst, that it's too parallel. It's not either or. We've got things to work on, and we've got things at the same time to be thankful for. And then I close with this article that Rick Warren says. He says, no matter how bad things are in your life, there is always something good you can thank God for. And the goal is, saints, is to grow in character. The goal is to grow in Christ's likeness. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if all we focus on is our problems, oh, I'm just so upset, oh, problems. Well, you know what? We're just going to be looking at our issues, our problems, our pain. We need to just take the focus off ourselves, hallelujah, and put it unto God and onto others, hallelujah. So I'm glad that life isn't just about mountaintop experiences, amen, but it's about more railroad experience, joy and adversity together. So once again, I say gratitude is keeping company with Jesus no matter what happens in our lives, amen. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, we, like Jesus, have to respond, just like Marshall and Susan. We have to respond to what life dishes up to us. Hallelujah. And each of us, we have that power to choose. Amen. And a positive, thankful person in the midst, guess what? People are watching you. They are watching how you react. They see when things are good and how you walk and like this. But they also see when things are hard and how you react. So a positive, thankful person is a great witness in this dark world. Amen. Praise God. When the world sees us praising God in the midst of our troubles and our trials, amen, we are demonstrating an attitude of Jesus Christ. We are demonstrating a life-giving, positive attitude, amen, which reflects that Jesus indeed is a difference maker, and he is the Lord of all. Amen. Now, a thankful mindset doesn't mean you don't recognize the problems in your life. We all got some problems, hallelujah. And we know that life is difficult, but we know God is good, amen. So we can rejoice even when the difficult days come, hallelujah. Because we know, as our note sheet says, God is always good. High five your neighbor right now and say, God is always good. God is always good. God is always good. So we can thank God for our entire plate. Even when you see some things on your plate you don't like, you can still say, thank you, Lord, because I know you are great. I know that you are good. Amen. And to the point, saints, that we are able to praise God and to be grateful to God even in the midst of our suffering. God will. God has promised, I will honor you. I will honor you. If you are able to just praise me in the midst of it all, I will honor you. Amen. I will bless you. Praise God. So just as a good parent may prepare a meal and have broccoli on there and some cornbread. We like the cornbread. We don't want the broccoli. But we have to trust our parents. They have provided what they feel is good for us. The same way we have to trust God, that God is good. And we have to trust God's inherent goodness. So we look at our plate, Psalm 107, our Old Testament text said, for the Lord satisfies the longing of the soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. We have to believe that, amen, saying. So I want to ask us today, just take a look at your plate, the plate of your life right now. What's on your plate right now? What's on your plate that you don't like? Just look at, just take a moment to reflect, what's on your plate that you don't like? Is it a loss? Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Is it a defeat in your life? Is it a relationship that's gone bad? Is it a struggle with a teacher or with a boss or with a family member or with a spouse or with a neighbor? Is it a disappointment in your life? Is it an illness that you just wish it would just get out of off your plate? You don't want nothing to do with it. Well, when you look at these things, I want each of us to think of that. And you see those items on your plate that you don't particularly care for. I want you to remember right now as you are looking at those items, remember that God is good, saints. God is always good. Hallelujah. So whatever is on your plate will ultimately work for your good. Because the Lord said, all things work together for good to those who love God, for those who are called according to God's purpose. So whatever is on your plate, go ahead and say, this is hard, Lord, but I'm trusting you and I'm thanking you that you're with me in this and that you are developing me. And Lord, you are going to use this for my good. Hallelujah. And I want us to notice, too, we need God always in our lives. Amen. We thank God. We thank God for the food. It's Jaisha. We was laughing at her, but she was thanking God for everything, everything she could think of. Amen. Amen. For those who take time and thank God, we acknowledge that, yes, all good and perfect gifts come from God. Some people, they sit down at the table. They don't say no prayer because they don't feel, why should I? I went out and I earned the money. I bought the bacon. I cooked it, and I put it on the table. Oh, no. Hallelujah. Our ability, everything is because of God. Everything we have is because of God. God is the source of it all. And we need to acknowledge God. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. Hallelujah. I'm acknowledging that what's on this plate isn't because I'm so great, I'm so smart, I'm so this and I'm so that. No, but it's because of your goodness. It's because of your grace and your mercy. Hallelujah. And it's an acknowledgement that whatever we have in this life didn't come from our own labor, but from God Almighty. Amen. Now, saints, we cannot succeed without God. Oh, praise God, without God's help and guidance. And as a songwriter wrote, I need thee every hour. Oh, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I want you to just high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, get it right, get it right, get it right. We have it so good. We enjoy so much. And often we express such little thanks. Get it right. The blessed soul says, Lord, I have a full plate in front of me. I have been blessed, but I need you. I need you to help me to be able to continue on. I need to keep my eyes lifted unto you, from whence comes my help. My help, my joy, my peace, my strength, my all in all, it comes from you, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And saints, we have to accept what has been served on our plates. When we thank God for the food, we acknowledge that we accept God for what has been served. You see, the life of Jesus Christ, we look at his plate. Jesus had a full plate. It had all kinds of sorts on it. Jesus did grow up healthy and happy. He had a profession that provided him a living. And once he began his public ministry, he began to have a following and popularity. And despite the good things that were on his plate, there were some very untasty things on Jesus' plate too. He never had a place to call his own, he said. He said the foxes have holes. He said the birds have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And rarely did Jesus ever have a moment to himself. People always wanted something from him. Always pulling on him. Always, always. But he knew the love of God always was surrounding him. And he would take time to duck here and duck here just to have that time with the Lord. We look at the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed. He saw something else on his plate. And it was the prospect of an old rugged cross, saints. It was the prospect of crucifixion. And he didn't like that item on his plate. And scripture tells us, in fact, he asked to not be served that portion. He wanted it to just be going away. But he ends up saying, not my will, but your will. Your will in my life be done, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And saints, we should remember that the best compliment we can give to the cook, hallelujah, amen, who prepares the food for us, is an empty plate. Hallelujah. You can say, oh, this was good. Oh, I like that. But if you still got all the food on your plate, that's saying something else. Amen. All right. The real testimony is whether we clean the plate. Amen. And you can see it cooked, peeping around the corner, just trying to see if everybody's smiling, trying to see if everybody is happy and eating. Amen. And just a glimpse of people eating and happy, that's enough to compensate for all the hard work that the cook has put in. Amen. Just those smiling faces and those empty plates. Now, I don't know about you, saints, but I agree with the songwriter's thoughts, who said, when I look at my plate, I see some good days. When I look at my plate, I see some bad days, saints. But all of my good days outweigh my bad days. So I won't complain. I won't complain. I won't complain. Sometimes the clouds hang low, amen. And sometimes it's hard, amen. I can hardly see the road. And sometimes I have asked the Lord, why? Why so much pain? But the Lord knows what's best for me, amen. That's why he allowed it to be on my plate. And so today I say, thank you, Lord. 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 I thank you for this plate. Oh, saints, we got to thank the Lord in the good times. We got to thank the Lord in the bad times too, amen. We got to thank the Lord when the sun is shining. And we got to thank the Lord when the rain is pouring outside, amen. We got to thank the Lord at the noonday hour. We got to thank the Lord at midnight, hallelujah. We got to thank the Lord when we're up. And we got to thank the Lord when we're down, amen. I see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, you gave me a full plate, but I got this last cup filled with stuff I don't like. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus, he took the good with the bad, and he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey. And there he took the good. People would say, Hosanna, waving the palm. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And then just a few days later, the same crowd was saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. So he took the good with the bad. They drove those nails into his hands. They drove those nails into his feet and pierced his side. Oh, praise God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love for us today. And we are thankful. We are grateful today. Oh, praise your name. You know what, saints? We might be complaining. All these taxes we got to pay. Whenever the school levies come up, I vote for them because we got to help our kids. Amen. We got all these taxes we got to pay. Well, praise God. That means you're employed. Amen. You got a job if you're paying taxes. That's something to be grateful for. If you're paying taxes, you got a job. Now, if you're saying, oh, my clothes is fitting up. It's real snug. I can't look at them. They're so tight. Well, praise God, because that means you eating good. Hallelujah. You got enough to eat, praise God. Oh, thank you. You got all those leaves outside, and you got to rake those leaves and get them in the bag. You got to go and clean those windows. You got to clean the gutters. Now stop complaining, hallelujah, because it means you got a house to live in, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, sometimes we complain. We trying to get the closest parking space to the door. Oh, we start complaining. Well, I do it. That was my spot. Did you see her get my spot? You know what? Go ahead on, park way out. My sister asked me, why you park at the post office and walk over to Walmart? It's all right because you know what? Walking is good for the heart, amen. Walking is healthy. So let's stop trying to fight people. I saw two people one day in a parking lot. They were both going for the same space. And they both got there at the same time. Both men jumped out, and it was a fist fight. And the police had to be called to settle that. Oh, I'll never be at that kind of fight. You can have that parking space. I'm going way out here. It's better to go way out there anyways, because they can be nicking up your car. And they're doing all the carts ain't running into your car. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We complain about our heating bill, but you know what that means? We're warm inside. Amen. We complain. I look to Fox News. They complaining about the government, complaining about. Well, they're complaining because it means we got freedom of speech. Hallelujah. So stop complaining. Amen. Amen. You might be complaining because the person behind you, you think they can't sing. You think they really off on their notes. Well, praise God. That means you've got ears to hear. Praise God. If you didn't, you wouldn't even hear how they singing. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We be complaining. Look at all this laundry we got. I'm so sick of doing laundry. Look at all this laundry piled up over here. Well, you know what? Don't get upset because it means you've got loved ones nearby. Praise God. And once there are no towels left and no underwear, somebody gonna help you wash that laundry. You just let it go ahead. You just wait. Somebody gonna help you do the laundry. Amen. Praise God. Oh, praise God. When that alarm goes off in the morning, some of us, instead of saying, good morning, Lord, we say, Oh, good Lord this morning. Oh, good Lord this morning. But you know what that means? That means I'm alive in Jesus Christ. It's good to be alive in Jesus Christ. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. When we come home at night and we're weary and we're aching, and oh, Lord, instead of complaining, oh, we can say, it's been a productive day. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the Epsom salt and the Bengay. Hallelujah. Let me go on in here to the bathroom and start taking care. Praise God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you loved us so much that you would allow them to drive those nails into your hands and to your feet. We thank you today, Lord Jesus, that you died on Calvary without, Scripture says, mumbling word. You didn't offer a mumbling, grumbling word. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that one Sunday morning, you rose again, Lord Jesus, that we might have life, not only eternally, but abundantly right here on this earth. Hallelujah. No complaints from you, Lord Jesus. And now you have risen with all power in your hands. And we say thank you. We